Tonight we're going to continue our series that we started a few weeks ago on curbing the tongue for the glory of Christ. Curbing the tongue for the glory of Christ, and I know that it's like preaching to the choir, right? Some of you are like, Yeah, we all deal with our tongue, do we not? It's very easy to lash out at people that are not doing us right, or it's easy when you're talking to these telemarketers or whatever, you know, they're just trying to make a living, and sometimes we can be rather nasty and rude, can we not? Or maybe it's the next door neighbor that threw a can over the fence, and that was just it, and you go over there and exchange words with them because they threw a can over the fence, and that ruined your day. And, you know, we allow little things, I'm afraid, pile up, and then the tongue goes to work. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're walking through this passage because I believe that God's people need to be reminded on a regular basis of the fact that the Lord says that our tongue needs to be brought under His control. Needs to be brought under His control. The tongue is a fire, we're told. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship. We learned that last time in James chapter 3. If you'll go ahead and turn there, we're going to be looking at various passages in the book of James and others. Verse 3, last time we talked about the enemy of listening. When we use excessive talk, we looked at several passages. Tonight, we're going to look at number 4. Excessive talk often feeds, everybody say that next word, please. Boasting. What is boasting? Boasting is big talk. Big talk. And the Bible warns us about that. If you look at chapter 4 of the book of James, we're reminded here in this particular passage, but I want us to look at verse 13 of chapter 4. He spends a lot of time in chapter 3 talking about the tongue, and he comes back to the theme again. Beginning of verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say." All right? Again, thoughts becoming words. "You that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get great gain." All right? Now, what does that sound like? Boasting, does it not? We're going to go for a year, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a lot of money doing this. You remember the story that the Lord Jesus told about the man who wanted to go out and build bigger barns? How did that story work out? His boasting led to his demise. And as a result, he ended up in a devil's hell. Well, this is a reminder. Verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You're talking about what you're going to do, what you're going to make, and you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. Now that's one of those stop in the tracks moments. We were talking about a few weeks ago, talking about putting stop signs at various locations, and Chris said, "Let's hold off and let's find out how things are going to work before we put stop signs out." But you know what I found over the years? That people don't pay any attention to stop signs. This stop sign out here in front of the school is the most ignored sign in the city of Milton. It stands there every day. It stood there for over 40 years. And it has 4 letters on it. Anybody know what those letters are? Yeah, STOP. It's there. It's out there. It's red. STOP. So everybody say it. Stop. But for some people, it means roll through because you don't see anybody coming this way, that way, or that way. Just roll on through and keep on going at a high rate of speed. Now, we've had the city of Milton bring their police cars out and patrol. And they've given out some tickets in the past. And we try to remind them, we send out social media, hey, stop at the stop sign. Don't roll through it and keep on going. You're going to cause an accident sometime. Be careful. We also have the second most ignored sign in Milton, and that's a 15-mile-an-hour sign on our campus. All right? All over the place. 15 miles an hour. Right to the mat. You'll see them just burning down through the dirt roads, burning on campus. They're in a hurry. We're behind. Now listen, poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency. Does it? It doesn't constitute an emergency. What if some child steps out in front of your speeding car while you're in a hurry? You're on a campus with lots of children. We have to be careful all the time. We tell our workers on the mules that are driving around, be careful, be watching all the time. It's at the moment when you're on your phone looking at something and you're driving and you think everything's good, something's going to happen. Always be alert. Always be watchful. Same thing is true, folks, when it comes to the tongue. It's very easy. And this warning is given. It's very easy to, in our mind, say, well, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to spend a year here, and I'm going to buy and sell, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to bring it back, and everything's going to be just fine. Yet, we're reminded you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's the stop sign right there. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Whole different way of living. Do I hear an amen? Whole different way of living. It's easy to say. And that's boasting. You don't know whether you're going to do well at buying and selling. How many people have had their businesses closed? Just this week, I heard of several businesses that closed over in Pensacola. One of them is a restaurant that's been there for many, many years, closing its doors. All the new restaurants have come in and nobody wants their food anymore. So they had to close their doors. Businesses close their doors all the time. And you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. With that, we have a stop sign. Bink, pops up. On the tongue. Be careful. Rather than saying, this is what I'm going to do, say this, if it is God's will, I will do this or that. That's a check on the tongue. Let's look at some other verses of Scripture, and I'm going to ask you to help with this a little bit so that we can hear some other messages from the Word of God on this particular thing of boasting. Brother Mike, would you look up Proverbs 20 and verse 6? Brother John Gamble, would you look up Proverbs 25, verse 14? And then John Bryan, would you look up Proverbs 27, 2? And you can see those up there on the screen there, these verses. Brother Mike, would you read that verse in Proverbs 20 and verse 6? Are you there yet?
Yes.
Okay, would you share that, please?
Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find.
Yeah. What does that person do that wants to talk about his goodness? He proclaims it. Yeah. Proclaims it. But who can find the righteous man that learns to curtail this? Let's look at Proverbs 25 and verse 14, Brother Gamble.
Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain.
Yeah. Well, the Bible talks about a lot about clouds without rain, a lot of wind. You can always feel an updraft before a thunderstorm. It starts kicking up, the wind starts blowing, you feel that suction of the air that's being pulled up into the atmosphere that's going into the storm, but not, we don't always get rain from that. You can feel it. You know it's nearby. We had one of those this past week. Just north of town, it was storming up in Allentown. And you could feel the updraft. The limbs and were blowing upward, and you could feel it, but we never got any rain out of it. Then we got some rain the next day, and you could feel it, and we got it. But the person who boasts is like a lot of wind, clouds flying by, but no rain. They're empty. They're empty. What a reminder. One more. In Proverbs 27 and verse 2. Brother John.
Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips.
Yeah, a stranger. Boy, that's like, I have to wait for a stranger to say how great I am? Yeah, that's what it's saying. Let another man praise thee. Yeah, but what if they don't praise it? Well, then live with it. Yeah, but I need it. I can't sir. I get so tired and weary of people that feel like I can't survive unless somebody's patting me on the back and telling me how good I am and how great I am and so forth. I just can't function unless I have that. Well, then there's a void in your life, and Christ needs to fill it. That's a void in your life that you're admitting to all. I just don't get praised enough. Well, even if you did, it wouldn't be enough. Learn. There's only one person that I seek praise from. Who is that? Yeah. Paul said it. I look forward to that statement from Christ, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I've lived my life. I've run the race. There's just one person that I want to hear praise from. The culture says, oh no, we have to hold each other up. Now, it's all right to encourage somebody and praise them. But if you feel you cannot exist without it, you have a massive void that needs to be filled with the person of Christ in that regard. So thank you, helper. We're going to take this next one, excessive talk. Can you guess what it might be? Flattery. Anybody not know what flattery is? Flattery is someone that comes along and tells you things that they really don't believe about you. Man, you're the greatest player that's ever played the game of baseball. Wow. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Chris and I, we laugh a lot about, many years ago, we had a kid that was out here, and Chris was out there hitting, well, I think you were hitting grounders or something, and the boy just walked up and snatched the bat out of his hands. Let me take a crack at it. And just right out of the blue. And Chris went back over and said, took it out of his hand. He said, I'll let you know when it's time for you to take a crack at it. Right? Get back out there. You know, he was just going to, I'm going to show the coach how it's done. All right? There are a lot of people that live that way. In their own mind, they're a legend. Have you met people like that? They're a legend in their own mind. Yeah. They're the best at this or the best at that. They've believed their own flattery. That's problematic, is it not? Now, the Bible has a lot to say about flattery. That's an old-fashioned word, is it not? Flattery. Nobody does flattery anymore. Oh, really? You know, every commercial has an element of flattery. Right? Remember the old Burger King slogan? You know, special orders don't upset us. All right?
Oh, yes.
You let us serve it.
Have it your way.
Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King. What is that? Flattery. Wow. And how many of you got disappointed when you found out your order wasn't what you ordered? Yeah, that happened. Flattery is how the world operates. That's how Madison Avenue operates. It's how Hollywood operates. It's how the culture operates. It operates on the premise of flattery. Make them feel good about themselves, whether it's true or not. So what does the Bible have to say? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 through 18.
The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright.
How does the strange woman work? Flattering words. And her ways tendeth toward death. It's remarkable what God has told us in His Word. But we listen anyway. How sad. Let's go on to the next passage, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 24.
To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman.
Yes, again, we're reminded, the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. This is advice for young men. Don't believe the flattery. Don't believe the flattery. Proverbs 7 and verse 21.
With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him.
Yeah. Read the first part again.
With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield.
With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. He believed the flattery, the fair speech. It's a warning. It's one of the stop signs that pops up. It's a warning. Don't listen to it. It's not true. Proverbs 29 and verse 5.
A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet.
Wow. He that flattereth his neighbor, what is he really doing? He's spreading a net. He's fixing to capture his neighbor by spreading a net. Now, this is a mental picture that stands out from the Word of God for young people, for older people. Be careful. Watch out for those that try to manipulate you with speech. Understand what it is. It doesn't mean you have to be unkind to them, but just know what you're dealing with. And be looking down at the ground because there's a net that's there. I watched an old cowboy movie the other day. And they were setting traps in the movie. And they were looking to capture some otters or something like that for their pelts. And they said one of the actors says, "Put the scent out." So they opened up the scent and it just smelled horrible. And he's turning away and he's putting it all around the trap. Said, "We won't catch them if we don't have the scent." I thought about that verse of Scripture. It's the scent of death, meat, that attracts the animal to come. And when they come, they're going to be falling into a what? A trap. And they're going to die. Now, you may say, "Well, that sounds cruel," but that's what we do. You do that when you go fishing. How many of you like to go fishing? Any fisher people here? All right, good. How many of you use a net? Any net fishers? All right, you use a cast net? All right. I grew up around my older brother Doug made cast nets. He was a professional cast net maker. He had learned from Mr. Tom Moore down at the barber shop, and he made extra living doing that kind of stuff. Just an amazing way that they did that and how they capture fish and how to throw it. It takes a special art so it spreads out instead of being just big one clump going out into the water. It spreads out and captures the fish. They run to the edges trying to get away, and they run right into the net, right down into the pocket. And they're caught. They're trapped. With a line, what do you put on the end? You just don't take an empty hook and throw it out there. They're not going to pay any attention to that. But you put a live worm on there. Or you put a sand flea, or you put some other type of shrimp on the end of it if you're out there doing in the sound or out on the Gulf. Ooh, smell, a sense, go after it. But what do they get in return? Death. Death. Are we ignorant of Satan's devices? No, the Bible says we're not. God's told us how he works. What did he do in the garden? He did exactly what she read in Proverbs 29 and verse 5. Hath God said, he shall not surely die. Eat of the fruit. See, he shall not surely die. Manipulated by speech. Excessive talk, folks, often leads to this idea of flattery. I'm pretty good with words. I can get what I want from people. by manipulating them. Now, if you're getting things from people by manipulating, you're not using a righteous method. You're using an unrighteous method that should not be found among the children of God. Should not be found. One more, we're almost done for tonight. And that is, excessive talk is most often idle talk. Now, what do I mean by that? Empty. Doesn't have a real purpose to it. It's empty. I have been walking out here in the new property that's being cleared over here. I've been looking for artifacts because evidently there was a home place sometime 100 years ago out here in this woods. I found all kinds of artifacts. I found broken plates, stoneware. I have found pieces that used to be a part of what was the old-timey electrical system where they ran the wires along the wall and the little porcelain pieces that were used to keep the wires separate. I found some of those. I have found broken bottles. I have found some empty bottles, but they're actually full of dirt. They've been in the ground so long. I found two yesterday just walking around in the piles of dirt being pushed up by the bulldozers. It's clearing the top layer off. That's where that stuff's been buried. And I found a couple of bottles. I'm cleaning them out right now. Now, nobody put dirt in them. So how did the dirt get inside? Well, years and years of being out in the weather, raining. Raining splatters dirt into it. It might get shuffled around by an animal or two over the years. And then layers of leaves rotting over the years work their way inside. And so when you find a bottle like that, which I found two of them loaded with trash and leaves and stuff, it's like a time capsule of 100 years or maybe 80 years, depending on the age of that. We need to understand something. Those bottles used to have something inside of them that had a purpose that was good. And maybe they were a food bottle. Maybe it was a perfume bottle, had something good in it. Is dirt good? Not really. I've got a bottle of dirt. I'll sell it for 50 cents. Any takers here? Bottle of dirt. I got a whole yard full. What do I need a bottle of dirt for? It's worthless. That's idle. That's the idea of idle there. It's empty. It's worthless. Excessive talking is most often idle talk. It's talk without a real purpose. We just feel like we need to say something, and we say it fast. And we say it, it's just, we don't like silence. That's the problem. And the scriptures tell us that silence is a good thing. Be still and know that I am God. Got to be silent. Slow to speak, James tells us. Slow to speak. Like some of our kids at Parent Line, right, Mrs. Pepper? We've got some really slow kids in Parent Line. Their name is called. And we call them again. And we call them again. And they're in the hallway. And they're just walking like this. We've got a few of them like that, bless their heart. So Mrs. Pepper says, she has to clap her hands. You can hear it sometimes in the hallway. Hurry up! Mama's waiting for you. And they're down at the end sweltering in the heat, waiting for their child to come, and then they make it outside. Run, run! That's their running. They finally make it, and then they do two or three tries with the backpack. But down on the ground. So I have to run over there, grab it, pick it up. All right, let's hurry up inside. You try to help them along because you got 45 cars behind them waiting. All right? Now, that's a bad kind of slow, but when it comes to the tongue, that's a good kind of slow. Right? Careful. We're not going to look up the scriptures tonight. We're going to look at this next time. But we're going to consider what the Word of God has to say about idle talk. For you know that every idle word shall be brought to account someday. That's an overwhelming thought, is it not? God didn't say it for nothing. He didn't say it for nothing. His words are never idle. Amen? His words are never idle. And when He says, I'm going to bring you into account for every idle word, I believe He means it. You and I need to understand how important it is to allow the Holy Spirit of God to take control of this little member. So small, and yet it wields such power because it's connected all the way down to the heart, spiritually speaking. It's connected to the heart. And you and I need to make sure that we turn it over to the Holy Spirit of God because we want to honor Christ with our speech. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, there's so much that we can learn from your word that touches on every aspect of life. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us of the sin of excessive talking, excessive use of the tongue, when there needs to be silence, when there needs to be restricted speech. Help us, dear Father, to think before we speak and seek to always have our speech seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, according to your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.